So right now we'd like to turn our attention to those of you who would like to ask a question. So raise your hand if you would like to ask a question. And Daniel will bring you the microphone.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
So just a few minutes ago, you said something about that the more, I didn't quite get it, but the more we accomplish here, the higher we go after we transition.
Yes.
Could you explain that more?
All right. Well, you've heard of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, yes?
Yes.
Well, the concept behind that is this concept that we're talking about here, too. But that's the one where most people are introduced to this idea that after you die, your soul, as it drops off all the personal stuff that's related to the lifetime and returns to its greater self, it will return to the level, vibrational level or plane, to which it is attuned. It's vibrationally attuned. You see, everything is layered of vibrations. Everything is made up of vibrations. Mm-hmm. Right? And you know, when you're doing healing, you want to move from a low vibration to a higher vibration, yes? Mm-hmm. Well, when you do that during your lifetime, it is so, it's like, it is so much more strenuous to move to a higher vibration while you're still in a physical body than it is when you're on the other side. Because the physical body creates such kind of a distraction. It can create a drag. It's like a friction. It's like a resistance. And for people who are able to work through physical to increase and to raise vibrational frequencies, i.e. to step into have more love, more joy, more power, more freedom, more trusting the divine plan, more connection with the guides, and more connections with love, right? As you increase your vibration up here in the physical plane, which is where you're at a tremendous spiritual psychic disadvantage because of the heaviness of physical matter, right? You're working mm-hmm. with matter and through matter to be able to connect to the divine. As you do that, it's as if this is translated on the other side as you connecting to a higher frequency band level on the other side.
Interesting. So the more we process here, the higher frequency we get in the physical
mm-hmm.
when we transition to the other side.
When you transition, yes.
Then we go to a higher level.
We go to the place that you're resonating with.
Interesting.
If you have love here, you will lift and you will go to a very loving place there.
Hmm.
Now, and that's why there's this whole, you know, idea about hell. Hell isn't there to punish people who don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all right?
Don't make me laugh.
All right. Hell is the lower astral plane, which is the place where people go to if they're absolutely miserable here. If they're stuck in shame, if they're in rage, if they are totally lost, if they're just, you know, going nuts here, and in the darkness of shame and despair, degradation and judgment and pain and suffering, if people focus on that here, then they're aligned to that focus of suffering there. So they have to go into the lower astral, which is where those frequencies are. There are a lot of lower astral entities who have left the physical body, but are so attached to the physical body that they lurk around, and people whose auras are kind of open and vulnerable, they'll jump in, people will have negative entity attachment. And this is, you see this with people who are alcoholics, because that really messes up the aura. And so these lower astral entities who are alcoholics themselves, wanting to numb themselves out, they still crave the alcohol on the other side. They crave getting high and getting drunk, so they will enter the body of the drunk.
Hmm. But now I understood that those that do go to that quote-unquote hell you're talking about on the other side,
mm-hmm.
the second they choose that they don't want that, they don't like that, the instant they make that choice,
well, yes, as soon as they get, they become aware. See, awareness is what determines your frequency.
Ah, I see. I see. So they've made the choice to that I don't like this anymore because they become more aware.
Well, it takes a while for them to get it because they're generally in a very negative emotional loop.
Mm-hmm.
Because the emotions don't end when you die. So the cleaner and healthier and happier and lighter your emotional body, the higher place you go when you die. Because the emotions stay with you. Now, what happens is in the lower astral, there are many beings who, out of love and service, will come and minister to these people and gently, you know, offer them alternatives.
I see.
But it's a free will experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person who is in that hell world must freely choose. Okay, I choose to accept some love because most of them don't think they deserve any love.
Reminds me of that Robin Williams movie. I forgot the name of it, where I guess his wife.
Yeah, where he descended
away.
Into hell
right.
to find her.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. I forgot the
exactly.
name of that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's had a lot of truth in it. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right. But you will go to the level that you have achieved in your emotional body, right? And the more peace and freedom you have in your emotional body, the higher the joyous level you will go to. Now, that's part of what the Tibetan Book of the Dead was written for, but it was written for people prior to this day and age where emotional processing is possible. In those days, people could not process their subconscious minds.
Ah.
They really couldn't. It hadn't evolved there yet.
Wow.
So basically what they said, okay, they would sit by the dead person who just died and start reading and saying, when you see the light, go to the light, go to the light, go to the brightest light. But people who are on a low frequency, they kind of have a bright light. They'll go, oh, my gosh, no, and they'll run from it because they don't feel worthy of it. They feel scared. They feel ashamed. Okay?
Wow.
And so then another lower level light will be presented to them. It's a tunnel of light, you know, there's light. And so they see that bright light, and if they can't resonate there, it will not be beautiful and loving for them. It'll be, oh my gosh, I'm too visible, they're seeing my shame, my unworthiness, and they'll have to go down to another level. And so the Tibetan Book of the Dead was saying, please go to the brightest one first. We know it's going to be intense, but go for it. Go for it. Go for the bright one. Go for the bright one.
Very interesting. I never knew that. Huh.
And there were like several levels, you know, the different colors of light and so on.
So really, I guess the takeaway message from this is do the best we can to process what we can in this life physically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, the whole point of a physical incarnation was to come and experience and play. But you put in it the whole program or the loop to return,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because this is a temporary thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't come to stay on the physical plane forever. Mm-hmm. This is a temporary place. And so you built in the loop that the way to return is through love. And the way to build love is to heal your emotional body. We've said many times that the furthest you can get from love, from the divine, from God, Goddess, all that is, in the illusion, is through the energy of shame, the emotion of shame.
Mm.
And so that is the one that really needs to be healed. If a person heals their shame, they're pretty much guaranteed a good spot, okay, in the afterlife, okay? Because it's a shame that takes people to the hell worlds.
Mm. Okay.
All right, and it's a shame that it'll take people to the mediocre heaven world, which they're often called, or heaven. Well, heaven is kind of like a good version of your life here.
Hmm.
Really happy version of your life here. And people think, oh, well, this is it. This is it, you know. But, you know, there's many, many more realms to go.
Mm-hmm.
Many, 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 many more realms and frequencies to go. And so, but people will go to heaven and stay there for a while, and then they decide to come back, you know, and then they'll, but a part of you is living on the other side continuously all the time. It's just a piece of you that comes down to the physical, comes back.
Right, that we identify with and call us, ourselves.
Yeah, but you are the, you're the kind of the consciousness leader of all the parts of you. It's like...
Who you, what you?
The physical you.
The consciousness leader?
You are the consciousness leader. You are the point of focus because you're fulfilling the whole plan.
Wow.
If you're hanging out on the heaven worlds, you're not fulfilling this particular plan, which is to go down the physical plane, have a good time, experience, learn, grow, blah, 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 play, whatever it is, become very, very conscious, learn how to create your own reality. Oh, okay, and now, you know, return. If you're sitting up there, you're not really learning how to, you're doing it at a very, very slow rate, but you have to come down here. This is required as far as this particular choice. This particular game plan is concerned.
I never thought of physicality as that, like that, the main sort of focus.
Yeah, but the focus is on you. Mm. And so the support is on you. Your spiritual family, which is all your friends on the other side and everybody, your spiritual family, those who you were born with a soul with, are watching you, are sending support to you. Why do you think you have spirit helpers and guides and mentors, masters, teachers, and all sorts of people caring about you?
Right.
Because you are doing the plan. You're on the game plan. Hmm. You're doing the work. Right? They're not doing the work. You are doing the work. So you're the consciousness leader. What you do determines what everybody is going to see you as able to experience and what that part of you that's up there in the heaven worlds hanging out, the greater part of you that could not squash itself down into body and physical awareness, is waiting for you, that's going to grow too.
Wow.
Because when you clear your emotional body here, you're growing on all sorts of planes and dimensions. We did a talk one time called, I think we talked about the dimensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did another one on the planes, right? You have all of these in you all the time. You're just not consciously aware of them. Mm. So when you come to physical plane, you learn and you grow and expand your conscious awareness, and your conscious awareness expands into your subconscious through the emotional body work, and then it will eventually expand into the unconscious where you'll be able to perceive all these other things that you're not even yet aware of.
I see. Wow, what an interesting journey.
It is an interesting journey, and you were like gung-ho for it.
Yeah, I can see why now. I'm getting more
It's really very exciting and fun. It's quite the experience. Mm. You know, but if you get that perspective on it, then you realize, well, the loop to go home, everybody's going to go home. Because eventually, you know, the tug of love will get you there. But it's a free will choice. Your free will choice. At what, where do you want to? And because you're on a spiritual path here in this physical lifetime, you have this opportunity to really fly, to soar.
Wow. Oh, wow. All right. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Sure. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else?
Hello. My name is Janet.
Hello.
You talked a lot about letting go of attachments.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just want to know how to let go of attachments, because I really feel myself being attached to people. And additionally, I also feel myself very attached to outcomes and mm-hmm. how I want certain things to be. So I guess I just want to know how to let go of attachment.
That's a very good question. Thank you. The attachment is a part of creating a feeling within yourself of security. It's part of the safety, security aspect of love, which is the first level of love, the foundational level. And to really get attached to something is to see that external thing or person as providing a sense of safety for you. So it basically reveals to you that you're not feeling safe. You're not feeling confident. You're not knowing that your reality is loving and caring. Okay? You will look at your reality as being kind of cold and heartless or ruthless or just simply, you know, inert, and that somehow or another you're alone and nobody cares about you. That energy will haunt you until you start letting go of attachment and seeing how much more safety you can allow to come into you, inside you, so that you can have an inner sense of safety, so you can begin to have an inner sense of trust that the divine plan is actually working in your favor. What you've done is that in the past there have been losses that you've had between outcomes and people that have reinforced your feelings that the universe is not safe, that somehow or another you don't have it together, that you can't really trust that it's all going to work out okay for you. And so when you have that fear, you're going to grab onto stuff. And it's going to create neediness. It's going to create more indecision, because you're going to have to focus on something outside yourself rather than yourself. So the way to deal with that, number one, is to come into yourself, to focus on yourself, and to focus on and realize you have that fear that the reality is not safe, and to seek to connect with the divine, to seek in meditation, to seek peace, to seek the quiet of mind, to seek the peace within, to evaluate what goes on in your mind talk all day long, because how you reinforce this feeling of unsafety is done in the yakety-yak that goes on in your brain all day. You talk to yourself all day. If you will listen to that, you will see how you keep creating yourself as being the problem, or you aren't doing it good enough, or you don't expect it to really work, and you really hope, and oh, please, 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 and you're begging God to let it work for you, and you're feeling lonely, and you're feeling isolated, you're feeling disconnected. If you can touch in on that, if you can recognize that, it is your mind who is reinforcing that. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Your mind reinforces all day long that you're not worth anything, you're not going to get anywhere, you're not loved, you know, you're all by yourself, it's hard, you got to work hard. All those negative beliefs, all those limiting beliefs are going to be stuck on you, all right? So if you will do basic self-work to find that part of you, and we talked about this in the one we called Inner Voices, to find that inner part of you that is voicing that fear or voicing that insecurity, and then you stepping into the adult you can take care of that part, loving that part, just as if you had a child that was crying and you would hold the child and rock the child until the child felt safe. You do that to your own parts, to your own self. And after a while, you begin realizing that when you open to magic and don't listen to your mind, and don't let it snag you up and get you all bent out of shape, you'll start to receive more magic, that more magical things will happen. Now, we've also mentioned, and we talked about this in the reality, the illusion, and busting the illusion, and in Life Tracks, how what you manifest in the physical is equivalent to the vibration of what it is you're trying to achieve, not the physical form. So the physical forms may not look exactly like what you think. And so therefore, if you see something that doesn't look like what you want precisely, you'll feel out of control, you'll be angry, you'll resist it, and you'll try to control it. And that's what you do when you're insecure. That's when you do when you cling. That's when you're attached. But that creates all sorts of excess energy. We call that charge. It makes it a big deal. It becomes serious, way more important than it should be. All of a sudden, everything's, it's so serious. It's so big and it's so important and so serious that this attracts the balancing forces that want everything to be smooth, calm, relaxed, flowing. And when that happens, then you'll have to go through something unpleasant with it. So it's essentially you creating that as a feedback from your reality. Here is where you normally throw your power away. Here is where you normally get all insecure and don't think you're worth anything. Here is where you need to deal with this. It's or that or this theme. See, the reality is bringing you all sorts of great things. We talked about that at length in our discussion of working with your reality as a friend. We would recommend you might want to work with that because that's the core of your concern. That's why you get attached. Because you can't trust. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's beautiful work. Actually, it's really quite fun when you get into it. Those of you who have done inner child and inner adolescent work, it's just like, wow, this is kind of beautiful and it flows and I feel happier and I love myself more. And so we'd recommend going in that direction and working with that.
Thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Because you see, attachments just delay everything. They delay your trip home. They delay your love, your happiness, and your success. And so to let go of attachment, you end up actually getting into the flow and allowing the magic. And once you get a taste of it, and even every one of you, even if you don't think you know exactly how the magic works, if you look back at your life, you will find a time where you didn't have all sorts of charge, you didn't make anything a big deal, and something beautiful came to you. Something. It says, here's the way magic works. Here's the way it's supposed to be. You're in the flow, beautiful things come, great opportunities. Not that you made them work right or chose them or something, but you felt at times, oh, wow, that worked out. That's like magic. I didn't expect it to be that good. And so if you can remember one or two or three of those times in your past, then you have an idea what it's going to be like when you let go of the attachment. But attachments stay for a long, long time because you're attached to the physical body. You're attached, and there's instinct involved. There's attachment at all different levels. And so those meditators who are meditating their way to samadhi, to union with the divine, always have to go through letting go of attachment, letting go of attachment. Now, in the East, letting go of attachment means leaving the world and going and meditating in a cave or in an ashram or something or taking around a begging bowl and not working and things like that. In the West, it looks a lot different. Letting go of attachment in the West is letting go of all the emotional charge on stuff so that things flow into you freely. You wouldn't have been born and raised in the West if you hadn't, or living in the West, if you hadn't come here to experience lots of things, material things. It's just a different spiritual path is to experience all the playthings on earth. And so you came here to experience that and to let it flow, let it be at that play, let it be that fun experience. So it's a beautiful system that you're in, but it's the emotional clearing that makes all the difference. All right. So another question? One more?
Okay. Thank you, Alexis, and thank you for a profound message.
You're welcome.
And I'm very blessed to be here and receiving this enlightenment. However, on the last topic, I would like to say that codependency most of the time translates into insecurities.
Yes.
And however, my dilemma is how do I, is there a physical action that needs to be taken also with the meditation or the process or whatever to of self-forgiving and letting go of the guilt and shame?
Yes. Yes, and you do need to deliberately and consciously do this, because if you don't, you know what happens. You know that you fall back into, you know, the rut. You fall back into the habit. And if you look around you on this, in your culture, that there's a tremendous amount of pain and suffering and attachment and anger and fear and stuff. And if you get into a place where you're fearful, you're going to be like an antenna, and you're going to pick up all the, it's like a picking up all the radio stations of fear, right? Because it's all in the atmosphere coming by. And whatever frequency you're at is what you'll pick up, right? So to get out of the codependency is definitely a tremendous amount of insecurity and fear, a fear of the emptiness, fear of the loneliness, fear of the isolation, fear of a place of separation that where you cannot survive. There's that just sense. And that's the energy underneath it. And yes, it's a shame energy. It's a humiliation energy. And it comes from earlier in the life, somewhere in childhood it began. And so to remove, to really let go of the codependency, you first have to realize that there's certain actions that the codependency is based upon. And one is like trying to control. The other one is running away from emotional pain, or and another one is going into fantasy to avoid being real. These factors all kind of interact and interweave in codependency, and that attachment, of course, is there. That there's going to be highs, there's going to be tremendous lows. What a codependency is trying to show you, and why your loving and supportive universe has brought you the opportunity to work with it, is for you to go inside yourself and to be able to fill up the emptiness of you, where you lost you, right? This can be done through releasing guilt, healing guilt, releasing shame, and self-forgiveness. And then it must be met with action. And the action is taken is for you to learn how to love unconditionally without trying to control and to buy attention, affection, companionship, whatever. For you to spend time in solitude and to come in peace and connection within. As you can experience a certain amount of this freedom, which is natural to your soul, then it accelerates in such a way that you can then start to apply it in the communication and in the interactions with other people with whom you might be codependent or have a tendency towards or be attracted to being codependent with. And you will find that it will heal and bust that codependency, and you will stop feeling that all eyes are on you. You'll stop feeling that you could do something wrong and really screw up huge. You'll stop having those kinds of fears that really are based in childhood. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
And when those fears kind of start going away and you start thinking, well, maybe the universe actually is, you know, supportive. Maybe I don't have to try to control anything or anybody, or maybe I don't have to run. Maybe I don't have to escape all the time just to seem to function in this world. Maybe I can just be here, be present, and learn how to act as a loving being, being a loving being, loving myself, learning what that really means, and loving other people, and allowing my game plan, my divine plan for me that I chose, and let it unfold now in more beautiful ways. And it will. And it will bring you love. You see?
Thank you.
It's a journey.
Absolutely. I guess I got to do a lot of ego deflation.
Well, the ego is the resistor. The ego is the one who wants to control the love. The ego says, well, if you can control the love, then you're going to be okay and you're going to be safe from being humiliated, safe from being rejected. If you can control it, you'll be safe. So essentially, you're in codependency, you're trying to go to that first level of love and get safe. But it takes a bit of unwinding of all of these kinds of things to do, because it's gotten wired into the brain. Now, there's a chemistry that comes, of body chemistry, that will come along with every condition, every situation. Codependency has its own particular body chemistry. And it also will create a lot more aggravated and hyper response in your limbic brain, making you more sensitive and more reactive. And so that needs to be, you know, calmed down and soothed by safety. So we would say that looking for safety love for you would help tremendously, enabling to just break that. But it has to start inside, like we were talking with her about attachments. It's about the safety inside, right? Establishing inner safety. And we did do a talk on safety and so security and confidence. And that can, perhaps you might want to listen to that one to kind of get some reinforcement. But we've got all the work that needs to be done in our various programs that we've done. And so it can be, if you want, it can be, if you talk to Daniel, for example, he can show you which ones to listen to and can work with you and can get you right through there really quite quickly. It's not a long, hard road, so don't put a projection on it that way, too. It's actually, it can be relatively fast, relatively easy, and it can be a beautiful experience. But you have to be, the ego doesn't want you to look at your emotions, doesn't want you to feel, because that's where in the past you got all bent out of shape. So the ego is trying to, quote unquote, protect you. So working with the ego is really quite helpful too. But we would say that essentially you just have to make the commitment that you're going to let go of all this, of all the stuff that doesn't work for you, to find your safety, and from there to be able to build a capacity to love and to receive love. And then you'll find, whoa, this is a different world, a different life. You don't have to be stuck with that pattern, even though you grew up with it, but you don't have to be stuck with it forever. In 2 or 3 months, you could be pretty much clear of it. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. And Daniel has helped quite a few people to go through processes of very intense experiences, very difficult psychological, emotional, spiritual traps, and open people to their freedom. And it's a beautiful process. So we recommend that. And it can be done over the phone and over Skype, whatever. So there's, you know, there's such availability there. And if you don't have a Daniel to work with, then find somebody who can coordinate your program for the most elegance. And that's part of why we are here, is to put together these steps, these pieces, for people to apply in their mundane lives so that they can be able to lift into their joys, into their happiness, to get your potential, your human potential, you know, fully realized.